Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast with Brendan Lowe, episode number 16. I've been waiting like 2.5 weeks, Brendan.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 16. I'm so excited to be back. I just got back from China, and I'll tell you all about that. My name is Brendan Lowe, and I'm just very happy to be back at the podcast. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I started doing this today, and I'm finally able to keep doing the podcast and talking to you guys, but I really missed it. So I'm super excited. In today's episode, I'm going to be going over how to swing and how to create the swing feel, because I haven't talked about that at all, I've realized. I've just given you guys a bunch of information on how to play chords and triads and a lot of theory, but I haven't talked about the rhythmic value much of swinging, and that's very, very important. I'd say that's probably one of the most important things you could learn and master for jazz, because it's everything. You know, it's everything to do with jazz, is that swing feel. And Duke Ellington wrote that piece, or if you know it or you don't, it's called "It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing." So basically, that's how we feel. That's how jazz feels. If it's not swinging, then it's really, you know, you're losing the essence of the music. So anyway, I've just gotten back. I was on tour with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. My father plays in the Boston Symphony Orchestra. He is the concertmaster of the orchestra, and his name is Malcolm Lowe. And again, I am Brendan Lowe. I'm his son. So I've been around him and music for a long time. I've never actually been able to go on a tour with him before, though, so it was just so great. It was the most amazing experience ever. We went to China. We went to 3 cities in China, and then we went to Japan. We went to Tokyo. And so we went to Beijing. The orchestra played in Beijing. They played in Shanghai, and they played in Guangzhou. I probably didn't say that right, but that's a little south of Shanghai. So then we flew over to Japan, and they played concerts in Tokyo. And it was so great being able to be around the orchestra and listen to them prepare and talk to each other. And I got to go to all the rehearsals, and I got to go to all the concerts. And another great thing was that they're playing. There was a guest pianist for the first 4 concerts, I believe, and he was playing Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, which is a really great piece. And because I listened to it so many times on the concert, I just fell in love with it. I just absolutely love it. So I am going on a little journey of my own to learn that piece. It's very, very extensive. Technically, it's very difficult, and I've started to learn it. A lot of overlapping hand stuff. And so I'm going to kind of document my journey through learning of this classical piece and talk to you guys about how I'm practicing, how I'm trying to improve my practice, and just, you know, really learn this piece. And my goal is to be able to play it all the way through. It's about 28 minutes. There's different variations in the piece. It's not like a one long piece. Basically, Rachmaninoff wrote different variations of Paganini's this one piece that he had. And so Rachmaninoff wrote all these different variations, and one of them actually was inspired by Art Tatum, funny enough. Art Tatum, the great jazz pianist. So you can really see how the classical and jazz kind of influenced each other and kind of, you know, helped inspire different pieces. It's really great. So anyway, I got to see this pianist. I'm not going to say his name right, but Bezold Admaninoff, I believe, and he was great. He's a young pianist. He's like 22 or 23, and it was amazing. I got to sit up close in the rehearsals and watch him practice, and just the way he played. To see a classical concert pianist is much different than viewing a jazz pianist in a lot of different ways, because if you see a top quality jazz player, they'll have a lot of the same characteristics you'll see in a classical concert pianist, but it's very rare that you see a lot of the technical advantages that classical pianists have, just because of the repertoire they're playing, their need to be able to play at a highly more advanced technical level is just required of them that much more. So it was just a great experience. And traveling to all the different cities, I got to see these great concert halls, and again watch this great conductor, Charles Dutoit, who was conducting the orchestra for the tour, and he was great working with the orchestra at the rehearsals. It was just I can't even tell you. It was such an amazing experience. And in the future podcast, I'm going to tell you what I learned from the trip and listening to the orchestra and how they rehearsed and how they prepared, and listening to my father prepare for some of the concerts, and how everything came together. And so I'm going to talk to you guys about how you can take tips from that and apply them to jazz. But anyway, whew, so here I am. I'm back in Sacramento, ready to start turning out more educational content for you guys. It's so much fun. I love it. As I was saying before, I know I'm talking a lot up front in this episode, but it's been a couple weeks, you know, so I just got to vent a little bit. I was talking about just podcasting in general and talking to you guys and giving these episodes out, and I just missed it so much. I thought I would have time on the tour, but excuse me, we were busy so much of the time that we were just traveling and flying and taking buses, and I was going sightseeing, so I had a very optimistic mind I'd be able to get some podcasting in. I did do a little bit of blogging, which you can go to the site. The website we are associated with is www.jazzpianoschool.com, and you can go to the website, you can sign up to become a free member, get access to all the videos that I have up on there right now, a lot of learning educational videos for improvisation, for technique, theory, and repertoire. You can watch those completely free as long as you sign up for the free membership, and you'll get access to a lot of transcriptions that are in there as well, and just music to all the videos, notated music to all the videos that are on there as well. So I blogged about some of the ways I took from the orchestra as far as adapting educational material from classical music and applying it to jazz. So that's, you can go check that out on the blog as well. But anyway, let's get into how to swing. Let's get into the rhythm of jazz, because it's so great. You know, when you're listening to a piece, you're listening to a tune, an album maybe, and you start tapping your foot and you're just feeling the groove, right? They're just, the musicians are just swinging so hard, and you just, that feeling, you know, you want to be able to emulate that feeling and sit down at the piano and play, you know, and really just harness that passion and that rhythmic feel of that swing, because that's so great. You know, that's really what the essence of jazz is the rhythms that are going on in the albums when you're listening to musicians. And when you get a really good pocket going, we call it a pocket in jazz, that pocket of the swing feel, it feels like you could solo or improvise or just listen to it all day, right? It's just, there's no time. It's just endless. It's because it feels so good. It feels like you can just keep swinging forever. So anyway, let's talk about the specifics a little bit. This is going to be a shorter podcast because I'm basically just going to describe how to swing and give you some exercises on practicing your swing feel. So what is the swing feel? So when we play eighth notes, I'm going to talk about eighth notes and how the swing feel applies to eighth notes, because that is basically how you swing. You change your rhythms of your eighth note. So in classical music, when you learn how to read eighth notes, your eighth notes are going to sound like this. I'm just going to play a C major scale straight in straight time so you can hear how the eighth notes would sound when you play them. Okay, so those are eighth notes, right? Here's our quarter note, right? And then I started playing eighth notes. One and two and three and four and one and two and three and four, okay? Now, what we do in jazz is we are going to take that quarter note, okay, and we are going to subdivide the beat into triplets. And this is the best way to learn how to swing. So if you guys don't know what triplets are, we're basically putting three beats to one. So here's my quarter note, right? One, two, three, four. Now for each of those beats, I want to put three beats to each one. So if I'm going one, two, three, four, in my right hand, I'm going to tap three times for every one. One, two, three, two, two, three, three, two, three, four, two, three. Okay, and so those are triplets. That's the rhythmic figure of triplets. And so you can practice this at home if you're tapping quarter notes, right? One, two, three, four. Then you start clapping or tapping triplets in your right hand. One, two, three, two, two, three, three, two, three, four, two. Okay, and so you can practice your triplets. Now, in jazz, how we express the swing feel is we take the first beat of the triplet in the last beat of the triplet, and that becomes our two eighth notes. So that's where we place rhythmically our two eighth notes. Now in jazz, all the eighth notes are written the same, right? We don't write it out as triplets. We still write it as two eighth notes to a quarter note, but the way you're going to play it or visualize it or express it or feel it is going to be as the first beat of a triplet and the last beat of a triplet, the third beat of the triplet. Remember, there's three, right? So we leave out that middle beat and we simply take the first and the third and we keep going and we use those to generate our eighth note feel. So I'm going to clap the triplets again one more time, and then I'm going to start to do the triplets and leave out the second beat. And that is what is going to be the eighth note swing feel. Okay, here we go. So here's the triplets. Three, two, three, four. Okay, I'll keep going with the triplets so you can hear it a little bit more. Okay, now here is the eighth note swing feel with me removing that middle beat of the triplet. Okay? Right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. Right, so we're removing the middle beat, and we're just using 1 and 3 of the triplet. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. Okay, and that is the swing feel. So now we take those two beats. We've removed our middle beat of the triplet. We take those two beats, and we use those two beats as eighth notes in jazz. So if I were to play a scale, you know, swinging the eighth notes, it would sound like this. Ready? So I'll say it out loud first. So 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, right? And so if I can do this, let me do it for you guys without counting once. So that is the swing feel. That's how we generate the swing feel of jazz, right? And it's a really different than the straight feel that classical music has. So let me play the straight eighth notes one more time for you, and then I'll play the swing eighth notes back to back. Screwed up there. Right? So it's pretty different feeling. Now, a lot of times you might hear jazz or beginners of jazz, and or when you're playing, you start to feel the swing feel as 16th notes. So instead of thinking triplet trip, right? So triplet trip, right? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. You're subdividing or you're feeling the quarter note as 16th notes. So in music, we subdivide the quarter note into 16th notes and we use the phrase 1 E and a. That's 4 beats. For the one quarter note. So 1 E and a, 2 E and a, 3 E and a, 4 E and a. So a lot of times beginners, and this is something for you to particularly be aware of when you start to practice your swing feel, is that beginners will subdivide into 4 beats. And so what they'll do is it'll be playing more of a march feel rather than a swing feel because you're feeling 4 beats instead of 3. And the beats that you're feeling when you're subdividing into 4 beats, subdividing the quarter note into 4 beats, you're feeling the first beat in the fourth beat. So with the 1 E and a, you're feeling 1 in the So you're feeling 1 E and a, 2 E and a, 3 E and a, 4 E and a. Right? So this, the when you subdivide and feel the quarter note with 4 beats, it creates more of a march feel. And if I speed it up, you can really hear that. I'll demonstrate with the scale here, and I'll be playing on the 1 E and in the right? So the beats 1 and 4. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'll do it a little faster, like 1 E and a, 2 E and a, 3 E and a, 4, right? So you got to be careful not to put the beat so close to the next beat. You wanted a nice even feel, more of a delay in your swing feel, right? The triplet is a nice even 3. So 1 2 3 1 2 3 1. It's more of like a waltz feel, right? 1 2 3 1 2 3 1. So triplet, 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 triplet. And then the 16th notes creates more of a march feel, and that's still classical music. So you're not really getting the essence of what the rhythmic feel is for jazz when you do that. So just be careful. When you're soloing or practicing your rhythmic feel, you don't want it to sound like a march. You want it to sound like that kind of waltz feel. So one, right? One, two, one, three, 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 one. And so the ones and the threes are the triplet, right? The beats from the triplet. And that's how you want to create your eighth note feel. So hopefully that helps a little bit. I'm going to tell you guys how to practice your swing feel now. So you want to take your major scales first off and start to practice playing your major scales like I've just been doing with the swing feel. And you want to practice on all sorts of different tempos, slow, fast, medium, and practice. I would practice with the metronome on triplets. So have your metronome going maybe at 180 probably, so 1, 2, 3, just going like this, and so you're practicing playing on beats 1 and 3. So 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, right? So if I do this faster, okay, and then also you want to practice with your metronome on quarter notes. So 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1. And again, when we're saying the swing feel in jazz, we're not saying triplets, because the triplets is just for you guys to start to comprehend how to feel the eighth notes. But again, in jazz, what you're playing is simply eighth notes. So you're not playing triplets. We consider them eighth notes in jazz. So when I count certain rhythms, out to people, my students or myself, I'm thinking 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, just plain old eighth notes, you know? And so you can hear where I'm counting them. It's on the later side of the beat, because when we feel it, like I just taught you, we're feeling it 1, 2, 3, 1. So I'm saying 1 and 2 and 3, and inside I'm feeling that triplet feel, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. So when you go to count your eighth notes, all you're going to say to yourself, if you have the metronome on the quarter note, you have your quarter note going 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm thinking eighth notes. So I'll count them out to myself first. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And then I'll play it. So here we go. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And okay. And you can do 2 octaves if you want. I'll just go a little bit faster. Okay. Okay, and again, you can do 3 octaves if you want, however you want to do it. And if you really want to challenge yourself, you can do swing the eighth notes in your left hand. And it'll really start to help you gain control over your fingers in your left hand, because a lot of times our left hand is going to be not as strong as our right hand, because we practice technically so much stuff in our right hand. But if you want it like Benny Green, he can solo with both hands, and it sounds exactly the same. Oscar Peterson could do this. A lot of great players can do this. And so you can solo with both hands. So if you want to learn how to try and do that in the future, I'd highly recommend practicing your swing feel with your left hand as well as your right hand. So eventually you kind of want to work your metronome up. Probably, I don't have my phone with me, but I should have given you guys an example. Probably about 160. I think this might be around 160. I could be off. But then you'd swing 2 or 3 octaves if you want. I'll just do 2 octaves here. Okay, so that's 2 octaves. And again, you work it up. You can work your quarter note up to 220 if you want, or faster. So here's my quarter note. Now, a little tip, right? As the tempos start getting faster, you don't want to think da 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 da. You want to think about phrasing, right? So when I'm starting to think about longer phrases, you want to flow, right? You want to ebb and flow like a mountain, like it's a long process, okay? You're not thinking about every single step when you're climbing a big mountain, because that's just going to be exhausting, right? There's no way mentally you'll be able to get to the top if you're like, okay, I got to do another step and another step. You think in points, right? So if you see a tree in the distance, you might be like, okay, I'm going to hike to that tree. And then you get there and you're like, wow, that was easy. Then you pick another point out. Okay, I'm going to hike to that stream, right? So then you hike to the stream. And then it starts, you have a nice flow, right, that you get going in between these certain points. But if you're thinking about every step, then that's going to reflect in your playing, right? You're going to be able to hear all the little teeny da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it's just, it's not going to be creating music anymore, right? So you want to pick these points. The point I'm picking in my scale is the top of the two octaves. That's easy, right? So I'm swinging and phrasing up to the top and then coming back down to the bottom. So I have two points in mind as I'm practicing my swing feel. Let me do it for you guys again, okay? Here we go. Okay, so going up and then going back down. Let me kind of emphasize what it would sound like if I'm thinking about every swing note, da da da, right? Right. You don't want to get caught up on every one. You want it to sound very fluid and just, you know, gliding up to the top. Okay. So that is the swing feel. And eventually when we start to get into more complicated pieces, I'll explain how we use these a little bit more. But again, practice just the eighth notes for now. Just practice your eighth note movements up and down with your scale in your right hand. And eventually, you know, when you start to swing, you feel that in the playing. Let me just play a little bit so you can kind of feel the swing feel. And I'll give you an example of playing something straight. So I'll just play a blues again, I guess. So here we go. Okay, so you can feel that ba ba da 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 da, right? 1 2 3 1 2 3 1 2 3 1, and that's our swing feel, right? Now, if I were to play something straight, it's going to sound like 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. It completely loses the feeling of the swing, right? You're not swinging anymore. It's not jazz, right? So you have a straight feel, right? So that's like a shuffle. I mean, it's not a shuffle, but it's more of like a boogaloo almost. And that's not, that was a terrible example because a lot of you may not know what that is. But you're just feeling 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And it's more of like a rock beat, you know, kind of like the Beatles might play. It's just, it's not swing anymore. It's not jazz, right? So jazz, anything that makes up jazz has that feeling. It has that triplet rhythmic value that you're feeling, 1 2 3 1 2 3, and that's the swing feel. That's the essence of swing. So that's about it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode on swing. If you guys have any questions, please go to the website and you can go into the forum and ask me questions. There'll be other people there asking questions as well. Feel free to shoot me an email of questions. You can email me at brendanlowe@jazzpianoschool.com. And again, I hope you enjoyed this. It's so nice to be back. I can't tell you guys enough. And it's pretty funny because you think sitting here and doing this and talking to you guys wouldn't be, you know, why would I miss that? But it's just a lot of fun for me. So I really appreciate all your support. I got a couple new reviews as I was away on the podcast, and I got this great email from a man named Sergio. And Sergio, if you're listening, thank you so much for your kind words. I really appreciate anyone who sends me that support to keep going, that they're really enjoying the material. So if you guys want to send me emails like that, I'm very open to hearing and responding to all of you. If you want to help out and leave a review, I'd really appreciate it. My goal is to be the number one podcast in the iTunes store, and right now I am sitting in fourth place. So I want to be first because I truly believe and I'm confident the material I'm delivering is very educational and can behoove a lot of players out there. So I want to get into the number one spot so that a lot of people can find me. So if you can leave a 5-star review, I'd really, really appreciate it, and that will help the rankings. And if you want to subscribe too, that will also help the rankings. And that way, you can have the podcast delivered straight to your iPhone without checking or updating anything, okay? So again, guys, as always, thank you so much and happy practicing.